About this Hassan guy. Sorry, I know that a lot of you see me as an antagonistic alternative to him, but there is it's nothing if not newsworthy the extent to which CNN and all of its Israel worshipping sycophants like Tapper are trying to turn him into a wedge against the rest of the Democratic Party. You guys see this bit? I think it's incredible that Democratic moderates are simultaneously holding the position of being the, like, popularist stance. Oh, we need to meet the voters where they are. Also critiquing Hassan for being far left. On a lot of social issues, Hassan is objectively closer to the median Democrat than fucking Jake Tapper. Like, if you go out and you ask the average Democrat about their positions on taxing the rich or Medicare for all or whatever else, I guarantee you you're going to get people who are, on average, quite a bit to the left of the people who they let on CNN. Except for Hassan, who was on CNN today. Hassan, Emma Vigeland, damn, maybe a couple more years on the straight and narrow and I'll be able to go up there and embarrass myself.
Our politics lead now. Now, Hassan Piker might not be a household name, at least...
By the way, keep in mind... Like, unambiguously, this is only happening because centrist, Israel-worshipping Zionist Democrats are petrified of anti-Zionists taking over the party, and they're using Hassan as a wedge to drive them away. It will not be successful. It is a desperate effort. This has nothing to do with his positions on China, Cuba, Iran, even, healthcare. Wealth taxes, none of those things are relevant, you know? None of those things, that has nothing to do. It is just an attempt to, because keep in mind, the specific context in which Hassan's coming up here is in the wedge between Abdul al-Sayed and McMorrow in the Michigan Senate race, where McMorrow is a Zionist and Abdul al-Sayed is not, and also a Muslim. And here they are targeting I don't think Hassan's Muslim, but I guess the media would treat him as he is anyway, right? Muslim coded. Most Turkish people are Muslim, right? Yeah, it's not majority Christians. They're majority Muslim people, culturally Muslim, secular Muslim, right? Like, I'm a secular Christian, but they're targeting him because they're trying to scare off the anti-Israel elements of the party. But the average Democratic voter is anti-Israel, or at the very least more sympathetic to Palestinians than they are to Israel.
Among adults, but ask your kids. His new role as a midterm surrogate for some Democrats is proof that his political influence is expanding far beyond the streaming platform Twitch, where he has taken up residence. He is, without question, an online influencer with nearly 3 million followers. His rise as a prominent voice on the left now driving a wedge between Democrats, and for good reason.
You are deliberately driving the wedge. He himself is not driving the wedge. You are driving the wedge.
Hassan Piker's past and present is checkered with controversial, if not outrageous, if not bigoted state comments like...
Remember that Jake Tapper is not only a shameless Zionist, but an open Islamophobe. Like, Jake Tapper has consistently covered the post-October 7th... I mean, not to say it starts there, but the post-October 7th relationship between Israel and its Arab neighbors in an extremely biased way.
This one.
America deserved 9/11, dude.
True.
F*** it. I'm saying it. We f*** totally put it on ourselves, dude. Holy shit.
The ultra-Orthodox Jews leaving Israel, f***ing hilarious. Okay? If they serve in the military and then they get their f***ing untrained, inbred asses shipped into southern Lebanon, again, very funny.
Can you explain what's wrong? How would that not be funny? Can you explain? Hello? By the way, I led like oil prices skyrocketing, market crashing, employment and hiring records absolutely through the floor, looking terrible. CNN, let's run this fucking hit piece on a live streamer. Let's run. Here's some 5-year-old clips on a live streamer.
Tom Piker calling Orthodox Jews inbred. Piker's.
You wanna Google Orthodox Jews inbred? I mean he said it. Truth is an absolute defense to defamation. That shit's true. Yeah.
He's also posted comments such as these, where he unequivocally sides with Hamas.
Okay.
Calling them the lesser of two Israels compared to the evils. Lesser of two.
Jake tap tripping his way around these talking points.
Evils compared to the government of Israel. Piker has since apologized for his comments on 9/11, but he stood by the rest. He's accusing others of taking him out of context. In a Wall Street Journal op-ed, the leaders of the Democratic think tank Third Way write, quote, Mr. Piker is anti-American.
Not a Democratic think tank, a billionaire corpo Zionist Epstein-backed think tank trying to push the Democratic Party right. Not really representative of the Democratic Party constituency. Seriously, no voters made Third Way. It was picked, it was chosen, it was constructed by the Epstein class.
Anti-women, anti-Western, and anti-Semitic. No Democrat should engage with him. All should seek to push him to the fringe where he belongs, unquote. Hassan Piker just recently become an issue in Michigan. It's home to a competitive three-way Democratic primary for governor. Dr. Abdul Al-Sayed, one of the three candidates and a former CNN commentator, announced that Piker will join him for two rallies in April.
How's he anti-woman? Liberal Zionist Democrats love to disingenuously invoke IDPOL as a way of trying to galvanize people against objectively more progressive candidates.
His opponents quickly seized on that, slamming the decision.
Jake Tapper does not care about women. Jake Tapper loves Israel, which is a rape state. I promise you, they do not give a shit about women.
Is unacceptable, calling Piker not somebody that you should be campaigning with at a moment when there is clearly a lot of pain and trauma across our state. Ardoni O'Sullivan caught up with Piker over the weekend at a No Kings rally in New York and asked how he fits into the Democratic Party's future.
You have become an issue within the Democratic Party yourself. Tell us about that.
I don't think I'm necessarily an issue within the Democratic Party as much as I am an issue for a lot of consultants.
Yeah, I mean, the backlash against Hassan Piker is not being directed by an upswell in popular opposition to him. It's not like the Democratic voters are all rising up and going like, we don't like this guy. You know, what happened to Kamala Harris? Instead, it's an elite cabal of consultants, lobbyists, and their sycophants who are descending upon him at a moment when they are conveniently using it as a wedge against Abdul Al-Sayed's candidacy in Michigan. It's like the voters don't have an issue with him. Yeah, normie, if anything, this is just going to boost his profile with normie libs more. Normie libs are going to love this stuff because he is everything the Democratic Party, or I should say he appears to be everything the Democratic Party isn't to them. Willing to fight back, willing to use stronger language, willing to condemn Israel.
I don't want fascism to win in this country. I don't want Republicans to win in this country. We can argue on the methods. Maybe you think that my worldview and my values and the policies that I want politicians to represent might be different than yours. But at the end of the day, I think we have the same goals.
I should note, I misspoke. It's a Michigan Senate primary, not governor primary. Jonah Platt is with us. He's the host of Being Jewish with Jonah Platt podcast. Peter Hamby.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Governor primary. Jonah Platt is with us. He's the host of Being Jewish with Jonah Platt podcast. Peter Hamby is the founding partner.
I'm so tired. So what's like the criteria here? What's the expertise? Being Jewish? Seriously?
Of Puck News. And Peter, look, obviously he has said a lot of things that a lot of people find outrageous. And he called one Jew a Zionist pig dog. He has called Hamas the Palestinian resistance. He has justified October 7th and on and on.
It's very like journalistic, huh? Jake Tapper, a lot of people treat him like he's an actual journalist. There is no both sides going on here. Like, Jake Tapper has already decided what the tone of this panel is going to be. Absolute overwhelming condemnation, the likes of which he would not offer essentially anyone in any condition. I swear to God, he's spoken more moderately about Trump than this. The media is so captured. Yep.
What does his influence tell you about where the Democratic Party stands today? And I guess, is it despite those comments or because of those comments?
I think it's despite those comments a little bit. I mean, back to your first question, what it says about the party. I think
not true. Hassan's popularity is definitely not in spite of things like America deserved 9/11, support for Hamas, so on and so forth. These positions are just much, much, much more popular, or at least the sentiment underlying them, much more popular within the Democratic base than people like Tapper thinks is convenient.
Abdul Al-Sayed is looking for a lane in a three-way primary. He is slightly behind in the polling. And like a lot of Democrats and a lot of progressives, after the 2024 election, wants to connect with young people, connect with young men, go into the manosphere, go into the podcast space. It just so happens that Hassan Piker is aligned with a lot of Dr. Abdul Al-Sayed's views on healthcare, on taxing the rich and billionaires, etc. He is a Bernie, AOC, Zohran guy. But with that, he has a long reputation of saying all of the things you just played here.
All the correct things.
I was just talking to you before the segment. I mean, I think it is a risk for Abdul Al-Sayed to have him come into the state. It's an obvious risk, but he is grasping for votes in a crowded three-way primary in a state, Michigan.
Also, objective, I know I keep saying this, but this is a fact. It is more morally reprehensible to campaign or associate with any Zionist than it is any supporter of Hamas in America. Anyone who supports Israel has killed more people, objectively done more harm than Hamas by several orders of magnitude. But you're allowed to pal it up with, you can smile with Netanyahu. You know, you can just go on over there and smile with a butcher, and no one gives a fuck, you know? Over there in Israel, the fucking median voter is cheering over the slaughter of Palestinian prisoners. And all of this is seen as acceptable, you know? But anything, even the most, like, deferential comment, like, look at how Israel's behaving. I wonder if Hamas maybe had a little bit of a point about, like, needing to violently defend themselves and the Palestinian people against Israel. Anything like that, just instant shutdown. Dep. Not even allowed to be discussed, you know? I wish Vosh would stop bringing up Hassan every stream. Damn, I wish CNN would stop bringing it up, man. I'd love the free press, you know? Not Barry Weiss is the free press. I'd love the free publicity. Absolutely. 100%. This guy trying to position himself like he's okay with Abdul winning as part of the disingenuous threat to it. Yeah. This guy's like, well, listen, okay? It's not that I care about the race between Abdul and McMorrow, you know?
Again, which you remember from 2024, both in the primary, the Democratic primary and the general election, has a lot of Arab and Muslim voters in outside of Detroit, in Dearborn Heights, and Democrats have been suffering there. And I think he's trying to grab onto them. He's doing rallies at Michigan, in Michigan State, so he's trying to go after young people. But one thing I do want to point out, Jake, that you said in the intro, that he's not a household name, the Speaking with American Men project, which was launched to study young men by Democrats after 2024, polled Hassan Piker's name among young men. He's not well known at all. About half of young people don't know who he is.
So half of young people know who he is? That's pretty impressive. Also, keep at it with these bits, and he's only going to get more known.
And then his favorable rating, he's -9%. He's underwater with faves. Only 20% of young men have a favorable opinion of Hassan Piker, and that's sort of why I say, is it worth the gamble to do this?
Interesting.
And Joni, in that Wall Street Journal op-ed that I talked about, the think tank Third Way,
they tried this with Mom.
We're all for a big tent, but the Democratic Party needs to draw a line in the sand. Hassan Piker and his fellow Jew haters belong on the other side.
This is, and it's an exceptional, insight into the way these people think. The idea that they're earning credibility by citing the opinion of a think tank, you know? The Democratic constituency, Democratic voters, are fucking tired of hearing about think tanks, dog. They don't want to hear about think tanks. They don't want to hear about consultants. They don't want to hear about lobbyists. They don't want to hear about PACs or super PACs. They don't want to hear about any of these fucking people. They're so sick and tired of it, okay? They're so tired of it. Republicans understood this a long time ago, that a personality cult driven around our one very stupid president, that should be the point of messaging, you know? The Republican constituency doesn't want to wake up every day and hear a new mandate from the Heritage Foundation about how their life is meant to be lived. They want to hear it from Trump. But Democrats, they haven't gotten the memo. They're still getting these directives like, oh, Third Way? You mean the thing entirely propped up by like five Zionist billionaires? Yeah. Those guys, they say this. Wow, that's great. That's so interesting.
Donia Solomon, Spiker. To respond to critics who call him anti-Semitic, he quoted a few things that Piker had said, especially a Zionist dog or Zionist pig, or I think the actual quote was Zionist pig dog, whatever that means.
And? Well, can you explain what the issue is with that?
Here is Piker's response.
I've spent my entire professional media career and far beyond that combating anti-Semitism. I've been doxxed, swatted by neo-Nazis for my consistent advocacy against anti-Semitism. I just also happen to be an avowed anti-Zionist. I believe Zionism is a very racist ideology. It's an ethno-religious supremacist ideology. And it's the underpinning ideology that has caused the genocide of Palestinians in the hands of Israel and also the United States of America.
Jonah. There's a lot to unpack there. What's your response?
Yeah, I mean, what Piker does that a lot of
sorry about the desync. That's on CNN's.
People of his ilk do is they try to inoculate
his ilk. Oh yes, the host of Being Jewish with Jonah Platt.
Inoculate themselves against claims of Jew hatred by pointing it out in places that aren't them. He's been very clear pointing things out on the right. Oh, that's anti-Semitism.
Platt was born in Los Angeles, one of five children of Julian Mark Platt. His father is a film, television, and theater producer whose credits include Legally Blonde, Into the Woods, La La Land, Mary Poppins Returns, the musical Wicked, and its film adaptation. Wow, what a well-connected individual. His mother has served as chair of the Board of Trustees of the Jewish Federations of North America, which oversees 146 Jewish federations across the United States and Canada. He has two sisters and two brothers, including actor Ben Platt. He and his family are, you're not going to believe this, Jewish. Attended Jewish day school and sleepaway camp at Camp Ramah, affiliated with conservative Judaism, Birthright Israel, Harvard Westlake School, In 2023, Platt contributed a column to Variety as part of Variety's anti-Semitism and Hollywood package. Wow, October 2023. This guy's career of advocacy literally starts right after October 7th. In January 2024, he joined some other people in signing an open letter addressing the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, demanding it include Jews in its representation and inclusion standards. Oh, God forbid. Oh, my brothers and sisters, join me in prayer that one day Jews might be represented by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. I hope. One day may we see a Jew in Hollywood. Jesus fucking Christ. One second. In late 2024, California's 51st State Assembly District recognized him with a Community Excellence Award for combating anti-Semitism. In October 2024, he started the podcast Being Jewish with Jonah Platt. His guests have included actor Skylar Astin, singer and activist Montana Tucker, rabbi David Wolt, writer Sarah Horwitz, comedian Tiffany Haddish, actor Jennifer Garner, a lot of people. Awarded multiple accolades for his podcast. Literally, this guy's entire career, his entire life is October 7th happened. I am now going to make a career out of whining. He tried to make a takedown video of Miss Rachel, and it's basically what you expect. Dude. We need to shut these people up because they are going to incite a thousand-year pogrom against Jewish people. These people are so hateable, so contemptuous, so openly hypocritical and monstrous. Like, they are, it's insane. They're genuinely Groyper factories, man. Yeah, seriously. Being Jewish with Jonah Platt, 37,000 subscribers. I've got fucking 15 times that. When's my CNN panel? Whiny 2010 Idpol bullshit. It's literally all they have. His wife converted to Judaism, and he is an advisory board member for the American Jewish University Miller Intro to Judaism program. Christ. Sarah Horowitz was that crazy cunt who was talking about how we need to teach the Holocaust as an explicitly Jewish tragedy that never again means only for Jews, right? I think so, yeah. Maybe not. I don't know. Unfortunately, it does kind of seem like 50% of everyone with a Wikipedia article is a crazy Zionist, so it's a lot. I might be mixing names up.
These are the tropes they use, and then he'll use the exact same tropes and just sub Jew for Israel, which is the place where all Jews collectively have a connection to, and is the homeland where more than 50% of Jews on planet Earth live. So it's not, he would never say Jews control the media, but Israel controls the media. And, you know, the Jews didn't pull us into the war with Iran and control the American government, but Israel does. And so he's able to sort of
just insanely anti-Semitic on every level. Like, he's essentially saying, no, no, you have to own this. It's all of us doing it, not just Israel. Which, like, man, I don't think you understand. I know you're sitting across from Jake Tapper right now, but I don't think you understand the direction the average American's position of Israel's shifting in.
Get away with some of this stuff in these subtle ways when really his impact is just as harmful as any out-and-out anti-Semite. Just, he's got a different name and he comes from a different wing of politics.
It's interesting. Politico asked a bunch of Democratic politicians running for...
Just from a couple days ago, a children's platform, 12 plus billion views, 19.2 million subscribers. Damn, that's so many more than you have. More than the entire Jewish population on Earth. This isn't fringe. This is how narratives get mainstreamed. And it's just her... It's just a picture of her. Also, this was written by ChatGPT. Just a picture of her. Do normies even care about Hassan? Let me put it this way, okay? This is the thing that bothers me. Normies are going to care more about Hassan because of CNN and Jake Tapper's obsession with trying to use him as a wedge. However, literally zero people give a fuck about this guy. The only reason this guy has a career is because wealthy, powerful Zionists, largely Jewish people, promote internally because they want to keep a constant, like, air of mysticism and, like, no-go Idpol around their identities. He literally started a post-October 7th podcast that seems to be completely oriented around, like, you are anti-Semitic if you ever question us. We are the chosen people. We have a right to this. We're doing what's happening in Israel, but you can't point that out because that's anti-Semitic. I didn't know who this guy was before this. Nobody knows. That's the point. It's like the third. It's like the third way think tank. They're not for real people. They're not for the average Democratic constituent. They're not for the voters. Like he doesn't exist outside of this. He exists entirely in a bubble of largely Jewish self-promotion, so that like the conservative faction within the Jewish community, who are like obviously conservative Jews or Zionists, right? There's few exceptions to that outside of the Orthodox, who don't believe that Jews should have the Holy Land, to shield themselves from all attacks.
Got a different name, and he comes from a different wing of politics.
It's interesting. Politico asked a bunch of Democratic politicians running for president who might run for president if they would ever do his podcast. And the only two Jews thinking about possibly running for president, Rahm Emanuel and Josh Shapiro, both suggested that they might be willing to.
I think this gets to something important with this debate in Michigan. It's different to go onto his podcast and joust over ideas. I think seeing Josh Shapiro and Hassan Piker on his Twitch stream would be fascinating. I think Josh Shapiro is smart and they would have
this guy seems all right.
Spirited debate, as we say in politics. The difference is going out to campaign with somebody, and the candidate, it's implicitly endorsing his views or suggesting, why don't you come to Michigan and campaign with me? That's the difference. I think candidates should be able to go on to podcasts with people who disagree with them. But yeah, I mean, the politics of Israel heading into 2028 are going to be fascinating. You're already seeing tons of Democrats kind of come out against AIPAC,
right,
but also defending Israel. Gavin Newsom obviously had to walk back calling Israel an apartheid state. The other thing that's a factor here.
He didn't have to. He chose to.
The more Democrats engage with influencers heading into 2028, they're going to have to confront some views, things they might have said in the past.
Quick one sentence, final thoughts on this. You worried about
like how they didn't address any of his claims, lol. It's just like the strategy here seems to be to tell every Democratic voter that the word for Democrat who wants to improve things, who opposes genocide, who wants to fix our healthcare, who wants to fix our economy, and who wants to punish the Republicans for what they've done. We have a word for those people. We call them anti-Semites. If that's the offer you're making the American people, I know which way the Democratic Party is going to lean. But that is literally what you're saying. Like, oh, you want a candidate who will do all the good things? Well, they're also anti-Israel. So, you know, yeah, I guess the average Democrat's going to be like, okay, I guess I'm anti-Semitic, you know? Why? I mean, might as well. They seem very insistent that I be.
The direction of the Democratic Party?
I'm worried. I agree that they should be able to debate, but they have to come in clear-eyed and know that they're there to debate and push back on these bad ideas, not to get chummy and have a fun conversation.
Thanks so much for being here. Great. What a great time to be in LA to have you both in studio. Really.
Uh-huh. And then funnily and weirdly enough, and sort of adding to the narrative confusion of the whole thing, literally right after this happened, the next day, Hassan Piker went on CNN directly to talk about Cuba. This must be very confusing for your average boomer CNN viewer, where one day it's like this Jew-hating piece of shit who said that Orthodox Jews are inbred has to be put down like a rabid dog, and the next day he's on here promoting the Cuban people.
Story is for the first time. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Paint us a picture of what it's like on the ground. What'd you see?
When I first landed in Cuba, I was taken aback.
Almost like it was planned before the first segment. Yeah, you know Tapper's seething at this.
By how beautiful everything was. You know, you got the 1950s cars, and it's a tropical island destination. But very quickly thereafter, as soon as we got into Havana, the main city area where people congregate, I couldn't believe the sights that I was seeing. It was very sad. You had homes that looked like they were bombed out. Our tour guide
wouldn't
at the
just
time.
Make everyone who hates Hassan look like a big fat liar who can't be trusted. The thing that pisses me off too is like every time they go after Hassan, they keep posting him saying stuff that's correct instead of him downplaying fucking China seizing Taiwan or Russia invading Ukraine, which is the shit that pisses me off the most. But yeah, no, it's not like and this is why I'm so insistent at reinforcing the bipartisan nature of the problem America's going through. Jake Tapper might as well be MAGA. Jake Tapper would sacrifice every one of us, you know, all of us non-chosen people at an altar if it meant perpetuating the status quo. He does not give a shit. They're all incredibly hateful, powerful people. They don't give a fuck about you or about this country. I promise you they don't give a shit. They are Jake Tapper has LARPed as a Democrat for so long, but he would give all of it away if it meant defending Israel. So many Democrats are like that. It's disgusting. I'm Jewish, Jake Vosh and Jake Tapper would sacrifice me for not being Zionist. It's just, again, like, I keep coming back to it. The problem here is that these people aren't liberal. Not that they're not socialist. I don't expect anybody in media to be socialist, you know? I just don't expect it. Why would I expect that? I do expect them to be liberal, at least. But then you have a bunch of freak Zionists citing other freak Zionists being like, no, actually, you're a Jew hater if you think genocide's bad. And it's like, what the fuck? None of these people, you don't even believe in human rights. You don't believe in the international rules-based order that liberals built after World War II. You don't believe in universal human rights. You don't believe in democracy. You don't believe in legal impartiality. You literally don't believe in any virtue that the liberals came up with in the fucking Renaissance. What, like, what's the post-Enlightenment thinking? What do you believe in? You don't believe in any of it. I wish I was dealing with a liberal Democratic Party. It'd be great if my fucking ops were liberal. That'd be amazing. Oh, I hate America. I hate how liberal it is. What a dream life that would be. Christ.
Said that this was somewhat of a product of hurricane season and how difficult it is to, like, repair these buildings. And I already had known about the rolling blackouts, and I experienced them later in the day. And it was definitely unlike anything I've ever experienced before. Everything's pitch black. There aren't any traffic lights on. Like, it's crazy, right? But I was taken aback. I was very sad by all the poverty that I saw. And then I was very angry. It was actually Ben Rhodes who told me that I would get very sad when I first
former
went to...
Former Obama foreign policy advisor.
Former Obama foreign policy advisor Ben Rhodes, who was, you know, formative in the previous normalization agreement with Cuba that Barack Obama...
What's your view of liberalism? To me, Jake Tapper is an example par excellence of liberal thinking. So when I say liberal, I mean capital L liberalism, as in the virtues of the Enlightenment. The stuff the founding fathers were jerking themselves off over and not applying properly. The problem is that, like... I think that on most issues, Democrats are mostly liberal. Like, let me put it this way. I think that the Democrats are bad allies in a lot of ways for trans and gay people and so on. Like, they do a bad job advocating for the rights of queer people. But I think that for the most part, Democrats are ideologically liberal when it comes to queer rights. Like, I think that most Democrats, voters and politicians, have the kind of, like, universal equality, laissez-faire, live your life attitude. Like, for the most part, I'm not saying there aren't bigots in the Democratic Party, but I think that's the tendency in the party. The problem is that when it comes to, like, Zionism is objectively illiberal on every level. Not only is it illiberal, it's openly fascist, ethno-nationalist. People get different rights and privileges because of their bloodline, because of their birthright, like, on every level. And Israel is a very illiberal country. And it seems like a lot of people who were liberal, or at least were willing to pretend to be liberal on every other issue, when it comes to Israel, are extremely illiberal, that they're willing to sacrifice all those values, you know? And as a consequence, everything else is getting dragged down. If you support illiberalism in one area, it's only a matter of time before you sacrifice it elsewise. If you are already willing to compromise on your principles for the sake of the state of Israel, which is not even in this fucking country, it's another country, then of course you're going to sacrifice them here. Did they ever have those values? I mean, depends on who we're talking about. Did Jake Tapper? I don't know. It kind of seems like a lot of them never believed in any of this shit to begin with and were always just chasing the median opinion through polling. That's why you get people like Hillary Clinton or, Jesus Christ, I don't know, Gavin Newsom, who seem progressive sometimes only in the light of, like, what it seems they can get away with politically. But when it comes to taking a stand on anything that's politically unpopular, you can't trust them for shit. They shift with the polling, you know? Hillary Clinton or Jesus Christ? Oh, I get it, because I said Jesus Christ, comma, Gavin Newsom. Thank you. I caught up to that one. It's so, I don't know. A lot of it's insincerity. I guess the problem that I have with this in terms of Democrats' political viability is that Republican politicians and Republican voters are ideologically, sincerely illiberal. But Democrats aren't offering a meaningful counter to that, you know? You can't fight illiberalism with conditional, you know, technocratic, banal, meandering, bureaucratic, we'll check the polls and see what they say liberalism. You need to be an actual capital L liberal, a positive advocate for equality. But it is not possible to do that if you support Israel in its current state. The fact that Zionists lost their mind when Mamdani said that he supports Israel existing as a state with equal rights shows it off perfectly. Why would you ever trust or believe in a person who's actively opposed to the concept of Israel being a state with equal rights? How could you ever expect them to be liberal? Capital L, liberal. So that's my point with Jake Tapper. Like, the big problem the Democratic Party is having right now is a narrative breakdown caused by the fact that the party can't even decide whether or not it wants to be liberal. And there's only two ways out of this, by the way. You allow the party to be captured by illiberalism, which I think it has been to an extent, or you allow it to be liberal. You progress to that point. But that means dropping Israel. Israel should be a pariah state. It should be jointly occupied by UN forces. Israel should be divided up into districts the same way Nazi Germany was. The world should descend upon Israel and put that fucking mad dog country in its place before it nukes the rest of the Middle East. This should not be an unpopular opinion.
Had orchestrated, and he was right. It was very sad to see. But then it was very angering. It was very anger-inducing because I felt like, you know, there was a lot of potential on this island that we were just robbing the people of. And it's totally cruel and totally unnecessary. And it was part of the reason why I went to Cuba, because I've heard a lot about, you know, Cuban organizing, the Cuban government. I'd read a lot about it.
Sure.
I knew about the island's history of developing sovereignty. But I'd also heard about this blockade, right? And I wanted to figure out exactly how this blockade was harming people directly and in many ways that are indirect, because the blockade itself is designed to be invisible. It's a system of sanctions. It's this like bureaucratic nightmare that basically renders it impossible for the island to do regular commerce, just like any other country.
Not going to lie, I don't see eye to eye with Hassan and everything, but after this week, I'm his strongest soldier. It is worth remembering that whatever disagreements you have with him, he is objectively closer to capital L liberalism than the average Democratic politician. And, by the way, to the positions of the median voter. Not to say you have to like him, but I think it's probably a good thing that CNN and Jake Tapper are trying to make a wedge out of him when he's closer to representing the ideals about of the party than Jake is.